begin reading in verse 21. This account is also recorded in Mark chapter 7. Where it begins with telling us that she had heard of Him, of Jesus. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You may be seated. I'm preaching this morning, and for as long as the Lord would have us in this meeting, on faith that Christ recognized. I was listening to a man on the radio as he was drumming up support for his ministry. Several years ago, I was humored as he said, Folks, I need your help. I need your support. He said, I'm living by faith, and I can't make it. It reminded me of the world's concept of faith, and even of how our own meanings and ideas of faith have been diluted in the church over the years. From uses and abuses and misuses of terminologies. So when I speak of faith, I'm not really interested in what you think it is or what I think it is this week. But I want to take some precious accounts of which our Lord Jesus Christ, who was faith embodied, looked at an individual and recognized their faith. And I want to see the expressions of faith that flow out of those individuals, that it might speak to the faith that God has put in me. And this morning, I want us to draw our attention to those two little words to begin with in verse number 27, where she said, Truth. Lord. The truth of the matter is we are locked up to faith as God's children. You either have it or you don't have it. The Bible said, For by grace are you saved through faith. So faith has all to do with our salvation. If you don't have faith, you're not saved. We are kept, Peter said, by the power of faith. We are justified and made righteous, the Bible said, by faith. We have victory over this world through faith. We have access into this grace wherein we stand by faith. And Galatians 3:26 said we are children of God by faith. You either have it or you don't have it. If you have it, you have these things. If you don't have it, you don't have these things. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we can't even please God without faith. It is so vital and so important that we can't even express the great need and necessity and importance of faith in our lives. But here it is, a woman, the scripture tells us, from Tyre and Sidon, to the north and to the west of where Jesus had done the bulk of his ministry. He seems to be out of his circuit, way up near Gentile territory. And he is dealing with this woman who is a Gentile. And what I want to point out to you for a few moments this morning is what I call faith in the ways of Christ. Jesus looks at her and says, "O woman, great is thy faith." And he does so after dealing with her in ways of which only he could deal. And after being dealt with through his means and through his methods, she has no argument, no debate. Her faith erupts in those two words when she says, "Truth, Lord." I wonder this morning, are you displeased with the way the Lord's working in your life? I believe that true and genuine faith begins with this expression of and this yielding and this surrender to His way. Not our way, but His way. And when I speak of the ways of Christ, I'm talking about His nature, thinking of Jesus, His attitude, His preferences, His actions, His plans, and yes, even His prejudices or seemingly discriminations. Faith may not understand nor comprehend what Christ is doing nor His ways, but it believes that His ways are right. And thus it is with this woman who seems to be dealt with in a very rude and even harsh way. And yet she accepts His way. Now man can't do that. We're all the time in the flesh balking and fighting and struggling with heaven's way because we just can't somehow line up with it. We don't understand it. When Jesus ministered here on earth, the great problem was nobody liked the way He handled things. No one liked His ways. They said on an occasion, "Why, He receiveth sinners. He even goes into their houses and eats with them. We don't do that way." They said to Him on another occasion, "Why don't you wash your hands and your disciples? Like John did at least. That's nasty just to get out there in the cornfield and eat corn. I mean, it's nasty not to wash your hands. Well, we don't like the way you do that." On another occasion, they said, "Why, you heal on the Sabbath. That's not supposed to happen. And we don't like the way you're doing that." He said, "Well, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I do what I want to on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday." They said his temperament is not real good. While he's liable to bust in on a Sunday morning with a whip and go to slinging that thing around, and maybe he'll turn tables upside down. You can't have a pastor like that that's completely out of control. We don't like that. They didn't like his ways. But somehow Jesus recognizes this woman's faith, and her faith is in His way. Notice how she is dealt with, and she seems not to be upset about it. She has no problem. If you'll notice in the earlier verses, she has no problem with what he does not say. In verse 23, the Bible said, "But he answered her not a word." She doesn't come to him and say, "Now listen to me, preacher. I'm come to church here and visited, and you walk down the other aisle, you turn your back to me, you won't even shake hands with me, and I'll just have you know, I'm not coming back." He never said anything to her. But she says, "Truth, oh Lord, I'm just not worthy to be spoken to. It's all right with me. If that's the way you do it, it must be right. It must be right." She has no problem with what he says about what others say about her. The scripture said in the same verse that they said, saying, the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." She's not one of us. Lord, you've got us up here in Gentile territory, and these bunch of Gentile dogs, these sinners are coming down here on us, and now they're begging and pleading, and we know that they can't be apart. She's not one of the elect. She can't join. You know that, Lord. So why don't you just go ahead and tell her to go home? The amazing thing is, you would think that he would look to them and say to them what he said to James and John. "You don't know what spirit you're of. Well, this poor little old woman needs help, and she's come down here and she wants help." But he doesn't say that. He doesn't correct them in her presence. And she doesn't come back and say, "Now wait just a minute. What kind of church you got here? I come in through the door and they just want to see my ID. They want to know if I was from around here. They want to know what my background was. And a matter of fact, one of them told me that they didn't much have my kind around here, and they just appreciate if I go to the church down the road. Now Lord, looks like you can straighten this mess out." She has no problem with what he doesn't say. She has no problem with what he says about what others say. And she has no problem about what he says about it. He said in verse number 24, and this is indirectly. He doesn't look at her and say it. He says it to the disciples in her hearing. I'm talking about the ways of Christ, the way he does things. Look at how he's dealing with this woman. He says, "I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So it's just obvious she's not a sheep. And in case she doesn't hear that real clear, and she doesn't understand it, "Lady, I'm going to talk to you. It's going to be right across the plate, waist high. I don't give the children's food to the dogs. Do you understand that?" Ooh. Here's some aspects of faith that we just don't realize. Faith in the ways of Christ. Is he doing it right in your life? Is it okay? If things are not exactly how you think they ought to be, Jesus recognizes this woman's faith because she turns and she says, "Truth, Lord, if you don't want to talk to me, that's okay. And if the disciples, if you've got nothing to say to them about what they said to me, that's okay. And if you say I'm not one of the elect and I'm not a part and I can't join, then you must be right. And if you call me a dog, then I must be a dog. I've got no contention with how you're doing things. If you've chosen sheep and not dogs, that's okay." Yeah. I'm not going to fuss with you about that, Lord. As a matter of fact, I just want to say amen. Right in the middle of being treated rudely and crudely and abruptly and being turned off and not spoken to and given the silent treatment and then been told that she's not a sheep and not a part and not one of the elect and she's a dog, her heart said, amen! Faith doesn't nitpick heaven. Faith has one thing to say to everything God does. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, how do you know that I've got true and genuine faith? Because you'll find yourself in predicaments and harsh situations saying to God, amen. It'll be a process, but you'll get there. If you've got faith, you'll say, amen. It don't make sense. It don't make reason. It's very offensive. It's hard to take. Amen. One day as a hell-bound sinner, the Holy Ghost met me. Told me I was on the road to hell. I was the chiefest of sinners and Jesus died for my old nasty rotten sins. And my heart cried out and said, amen! To the ways of Christ. Now I want to point out four things, briefly, about this faith in the ways of Christ and what it brought her. Notice it with me in the text. First of all, I want you to notice that her faith in the ways of Christ got her a meeting. And that's exactly what she needed. She doesn't need a meeting with just anybody. She doesn't need a meeting with the disciples or the Pharisees or the priests or things of that nature. She just needs a meeting with Jesus. But you got to understand, he don't meet with folks like that. He meets with sheep and people of the house of Israel down in Jerusalem. Unless somehow you might be one of them dogs that's got faith. And you might get a meeting like that. And she's up in Tyre and Sidon. He goes up to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Out into the regions beyond his ministry where the bulk of everybody is going to be. The unwanted. The Gentile dogs. I'm sure that as on other occasions when he went and ministered to the woman at Jacob's well, the woman of Samaria, they said, why are you going over there? I'm sure the disciples probably felt. You can tell in the tone of their voice. Knew we'd run into these kind of people up here. I don't know why we're doing up here anyway. We wouldn't have to be going through this if he'd just stayed down around the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum and Nazareth and some of those places. But if you come up here, you're going to run into people like that because that's the kind of people that's up here. But she is not in disagreement as to where he's come to. She simply hears, did you know that Jesus of Nazareth has come up around Tyre and Sidon? She said, well, if he wants to meet up here, this is where we'll meet. Don't make no difference to me. I'm not going to fuss with him about coming up here. I don't have to meet in the synagogue. I don't have to meet with him in a temple. All I want to do is meet with him. I'll meet with him anywhere he wants to meet. Where he meets is insignificant. Her faith brought her an audience with the Son of God. Because she's willing to let him have it his way. I don't know why he's up here. I don't know why he's come up here. But I know one thing. I'm going to meet with him up here if he'll allow me to do so. You know, it's hard telling where the Lord might want to meet with you. It might not be in some pleasant places. It may not be in some very pleasant circumstances. But if you really want to meet with him, it really doesn't make any difference. You just need a meeting. Need a meeting. It brought her a meeting. Secondly, I want you to notice that this faith in the ways of Christ not only brought her a meeting with him, but it brought her a message. She has come to hear from Jesus. But verse 23 said, and he answered her not a word. But he makes no complaints. She's not upset about it. She simply cries out and says, Lord, would you help me? Would you give me some crumbs from the master's table? Would you, Lord, speak to me? She doesn't need a sermon with some outstanding preacher with 3 points and a point. If she can get a grunt, that's all she wants. As a matter of fact, I don't like preaching to people that have to have full-length sermons. I like to preach to hearts that are so in need of Christ that they're just listening for a word. Just a grunt from heaven. He begins by not speaking to her. He begins by speaking in an indirect way. But because of her faith in his ways. Lord, if you don't want to speak to me, you've got to be right. And if you're just going to speak indirectly, I appreciate that. But Lord, I need some help. Her faith got her a meeting. Her faith got her a message. I wonder, do you need a word from him this morning? Faith in the ways of Christ. Third thing I would point out to you. Her faith in the ways of Christ got her a manifestation. Something I don't guess that she had known before this, but in verse 26, he gives her a description of herself. When he says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs, he said, I'm just going to tell you, lady, what you are, whether you like it or not. While we're here, I might as well get it out. You've got to understand, you're a dog. You're not even on the level of all these sheep. You are a dog. Somehow I feel as though that a glow came on her face. It wasn't a snarl and a jump back. But it was a glow. You can tell by the way she answers. She says, woo! Praise God! Did you hear what he called me? He said, I'm a dog. I've never seen that before. Hallelujah! I'm an old Gentile dog in need of a Savior! Can you imagine when she got back home to their daughter and they began to inquire as to what happened? Oh, she said, I had a meeting with him. He gave me a message and then he told me, whoa, I was a dog. Then she started practicing. She stuck that tongue out and began to wag that tail. Acting just like a dog. She did. Look at it. She doesn't argue with him when she says, truth, Lord. She said, yes, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, oh God, she said, Jesus, you're right. I never seen it in that light. I never realized how low and how ungodly. I never realized how I was at heart. But Lord, if I could get just that crumb from the master's table, from the Lord's the way you do it, I'm happy. You know as well as I do, one of the things that you glory in and you praise God for and your heart overflows is the fact that you are an old hell-bound sinner. And one day the Lord of glory had a meeting with you and told you who you was and told you your condition and told you how rotten you were, and you said, Amen. Manifestation. Oh, I'm so glad one day I saw myself as that sinner. So that I could begin to realize that truly I am not a part. Truly I do not deserve. Truly it is destined for me that I will go to hell. But somehow if I could bark and wag my tail, maybe I could get out in all grace. I sort of doubt it. But I'm going to try it anyway. Lord, how about a snack? How about just a crumb? And he looks at her in verse 28. Oh, woman. Something's pulling on it. Something's fixing to change all the philosophies and theories and plans. And he sort of likes it, you can tell it. Somebody said, well, wait a minute. I thought we was talking about truth here. And I thought she said amen to the truth of everything he said and done and the way that he's done it. She did. And it was truth. The truth of the matter was, she was a Gentile dog. Truth of the matter was, she wasn't a part of the sheep. Truth of the matter was, she wasn't welcome. Truth of the matter was, he didn't come for them. He came for those lost sheep. He said he did. Truth of the matter was, she was a stranger and a foreigner and an outcast. Truth of the matter was, she deserved hell, and that's exactly where she was going. And there wasn't a thing on earth she or anybody else could do about it. It's over. Verdict is already given. But there's only one problem. That's true about her. But it ain't true about faith. Faith in Christ is never a stranger. Faith, when it swells up in your heart, is never a foreigner. Faith is never rejected. Faith is never an outcast. Right. Faith always finds a part. And he said, sister, everything I said about you is true. Bye. You got one thing that changes the whole picture. You got faith. And honey, that's all it takes. Faith in the ways of Christ negates the fact that you are a dog, that you are a Gentile, that you aren't one of the elect. Faith, can I say to you, lastly, brought her a miracle. The scripture said, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I got something I want to tell you that I believe is the truth throughout the Bible, and it is this. You underscore it. If you will let Him have His way, then He'll turn around and let you have it your way. She came to Christ. He came to her. He dealt with her in His own way. She cried out and said, "Truth, Lord, have it Your way." He said, "Sister, your faith in My way is going to in turn let you have it your way." Look what He says in that verse. "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Faith lets Him have it His way. But I'm going to promise you something. Blessed be the Lord. It ain't going to be long down the road that you're going to be having it your way. It always happens that way. He went to Abraham. He said, "Abraham, if you'll give up all this and you'll follow me, if you let me have it my way." He said, "I got something for you." Abraham is right at 100 years old. You can hear the cry of a newborn babe inside the tent door. And somebody would say, "Abraham, how in the world did you get a son at 100 years old?" He said, "Praise God, 25 years ago, I let him have it his way, and today, he's let me have it my way." They had a wedding at Canaan. They run out of wine. Jesus' mother Mary spoke to those servants there and said, "Whatsoever he saith to you, do it." In other words, she said, if you let him have his way, then you'll have it your way. And I'm here to tell you, 36 years ago, under old time Holy Ghost conviction, I let him have it his way. But honey, how many times over these 36 years has he been letting me have it my way? Because my way is his way. You test it and see. About 6 years ago, the Lord made me go into evangelism. That was His way. I wouldn't be out here if I'd had my way back then. And I stepped out by faith and said, "Okay, God, this don't make sense, a lick of sense to me, but I'm going to let You have it Your way." Somebody said, "What are you doing now, preacher?" "I'm traveling all over the country and getting it my way." Have you ever heard the old saints as they testify? You'll never hear them grumble and complain and say, "Boy, I missed it when I coupled up with the Lord and when I started following Him." I ain't heard it. Have you? I always hear them say, "You know what? As I look back through life, there have been trials and tests, and the Lord's took me through a lot of things I didn't understand. But, preacher, I wouldn't change a thing." Well, if you've got a heart that says they won't change a thing, evidently they're having it their way. Faith in the ways of Christ. It may not be able to understand it. It may seem rough and hard and negative. But if you'll just say, "Lord Jesus, the best I can do is say amen. I'm going to let You have it Your way." And I want to promise you, and you mark it down to this day, and remember this preacher's told you, that you'll never, ever be sorry letting Him have it His way. And down the road somewhere, though you can't foresee it, you're going to be testifying all the way to glory and saying, "Boy, I'm going to tell you, He's let me have it my way." Faith in the ways of Christ. Jesus recognized. Let's stand by our heads.
Lord Jesus, we confess that there are times that our hearts struggle over the events. But I thank you for faith that will turn loose of everything. Quit trying to reason it out. And just say truth, Lord. Truth. And let you have it your way. I'm going to ask the sister to come and play maybe just a verse or two. Maybe you're here this morning and you just can't see clearly through what you may be facing. The songwriter said, well, just let him have his way. I want to ask you something now. You listen just real carefully. Is he having his way in your life today? Have you surrendered to his way? That may be why you're struggling like you are, filled with discontent, fighting and fussing, warring with heaven. And all he's saying is, let me have it my way. You say, but Lord, you could change things. Yes, he could. You say, Lord, things don't have to be this way. No, they don't. But what he's interested in is your very heart this morning. He's wanting to hear somebody cry out in this church and say, Lord, I want you to have your way. I want to yield to your way. Truth, Lord. Great struggle through the ages has been over who's going to get it their way. And that's why it's a struggle. God's trying to bring you to faith. But where all you got to do is just say, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to even try to understand it. Just two words. All you need to utter to heaven to get the victory on the road. To get things moving on your behalf. To get it your way. Two words this morning. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. When you've surrendered to His way, you'll begin to notice the water parts. His very divine energy and strength, miracle working power begins to flow in your direction. And folks will begin to say, well, what happened? What turned that around? What did you do? And you'll have to be able to say, I just said, have it your way, Lord. Have it your way.